You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
I don't know if it's my competitive nature, but Sean had a bread maker last week, so I had to... No, I'm just kidding. I hope it works. Made everyone sit up straight, isn't it? Just before I get to the sermon, though, I wanted to just share a bit of family news. For those of you who know Duncan and Sharon Titmarsh, I wanted to let you know that they have decided to move on from Jubilee, that their time here has come to an end. They're staying local, so you may well bump into them again. They're looking to join another church as they move on for this next chapter. I met with Dunk and Sharon a couple of weeks ago, had some brekkie with them. We chatted about things, and we also had a farewell lunch last Sunday with our group, and we said goodbye to them, and we prayed for them. We prayed for God's blessing on them for this next chapter, and for them, if you like, to be sent out with blessing and prayer. So we just wanted to pass that on so people know that that's happened. And we do pray for them, Lord. We pray that you knit them into where they join and that you multiply your blessings in their life and make them more and more fruitful. We pray in Jesus' name. So this morning is our last session on our Discovering Jubilee Together preaching series. And I have entitled this morning, Who Do You Look Like? Who do you look like? Or perhaps a better question would be, who are you becoming like? And that's a really important question for us here at Jubilee. Who are you becoming like? John Piper puts it this way. He says, you become most like what you admire most. Or another theologian, James K.A. Smith, says, you are what you love. And the Bible makes this command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And you seem to become what you worship, what you love, and what captures your heart. And seeing people grow in Christ-likeness is my passion. It's the reason I became a pastor. It's the reason I run a group. It's the reason I preach. I love to see people become more and more like Christ. It makes my heart full when I see people making those steps in what Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message translation, he described it like this, a long walk in the same direction. It's my passion. But to be honest, how that process happens is a bit of a mystery. The Bible often talks about the process of transformation in a mysterious way. And we're not very good at mystery. We like clarity and certainty. Mystery can feel unnerving. But listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 3 from verse 15. But to this day, whenever Moses is read... So what Paul's saying here is whenever the Old Testament or the law is read disconnected from Jesus, a veil lies over their hearts. But when a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, life. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. So what we've got within there is this notion of a veil. We've got this notion of God's Spirit working, of liberty, of a mirror, of glory, and transformation. Do you see what I mean? It feels to me, at least, more mysterious than transformation project plan. It has something to do with beholding, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. But does anyone have a standard operating procedure for beholding? It's a little bit mysterious. But of course, there are also clearer passages in Scripture that help us. And we read it this morning. I'll read it again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. What often happens is that we hear about verse 2, don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we think we've got an idea about what that means. We think, okay, that's straightforward. But we also need to make sure that we avoid a mind-body duality, thinking that if I have the right thoughts, I'll have a right life. That's the old slogan, isn't it? Right thoughts, right life. But verse 1 implores us, first and foremost, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. This earthly, fleshy carcass is just as important as the mind. Using our bodies in a way that is holy and pleasing to God, that is our true and proper worship. But the problem with discipleship models, particularly within the evangelical church, is that its basic premise has been, if we understand correct doctrine, the job is done, and Christ-likeness will blossom like the rose garden in spring, or November, as it is this year. But how often I've sat with a brother and sister who genuinely loves the Lord and quotes Scripture to me and has a rock-solid doctrinal framework, but have their head in their hands in tears, weeping over the sin that so easily entangles and shaken by the choices they've made. Now, please don't hear what I'm not saying. I am not saying doctrine doesn't matter. I am not saying Scripture doesn't matter. And I'm not saying, well, then, that sounds all a bit tough. Let's just give up. You know how much I treasure all these things, Scripture, doctrine. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that without correct doctrine, without knowing the Bible intimately, without persevering, there is no possibility of becoming like Christ. We need these things as sure as day follows night. But what I am saying is that our transformation into Christ-likeness is very often a bit mysterious, very often a bit messy. Sometimes it happens with leaps and bounds and can happen in the valley as much as the mountaintop, perhaps even more in the valley. And I am passionate about pursuing this goal of becoming more Christ-like. I'm passionate about helping anyone and all who also want this in their life. I'm constantly, continually asking myself the question, how will this decision, how will this action, this choice, this behavior help me to become more like Christ? I'm always thinking these things through. Do I always get it right? You know the answer to that. No perfect people allowed. No, I don't. I fail more often than I like to face up to. I make selfish choices. I don't pick up my cross daily. I get tempted and I sin. And this is the tension and the challenge of every believer in Christ. Temptation prowls like a lion, and sin can so easily entangle. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such great a cloud of witnesses," are we aware of that this morning? "Since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." So what I want to do this morning is to delve a bit deeper into the context of our formation into Christlikeness and hopefully shed some light on what often is a bit mysterious, a bit bumpy, and doesn't always progress in the way that we perhaps had hoped for. So you're ready? Okay, Vane, I'm talking to you. Good. I'm glad about that. All right. And I'm going to begin with an analogy that brings me to my sermon prop. So the first challenge is, how are we going to talk about this? When we talk about becoming Christ-like, I don't want it to stay at the level of a bumper sticker. Are they a thing anymore? I don't know. I'm just so showing my age now. Right, okay. Very long time ago, young people, there was something that you would get. It's a sticker, and you'd stick it on the bumper of your car, and it would say something. And Christians were probably the worst, the tackiest at putting their bumper stickers on. Anyway, I'm just aging myself. Everyone's catching up. But I don't want Christlikeness just to be a slogan. I don't want it to be a bumper sticker. But I'm talking about this, if you like, capacity that is in human beings to relate with God. And that it's through that capacity that the Holy Spirit works to bring about our transformation. When we speak of each and every human being being made in the image of God, it's that capacity to bear His image and reflect it to the world that I'm talking about here. It's not our bodies only, but it has something to do with our bodies and how we think about them and use them. But it's certainly not a YouTube body transformation class going on this morning. It's not only our minds, at least the way we commonly think of our minds, but it impacts our minds and our thinking and our understanding of the world and us in the world. What I'm talking about is that capacity that God has placed in every single human being to bear His image and be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. But it's, what do we call that capacity? Anyone want to shout out a suggestion? What do we call that capacity? To bear His image. Metamorphosis is the process, but what's the capacity that holds that bearing, that image-bearing ability? Interactive church. It's sometimes a bit shaky, isn't it? Right, well, I'm gonna suggest something, and I want you to bear with me in this, okay? For the purpose of our illustration today, I'm going to use the word soul. So soul is a Bible word. It's used at least 95 times. It's used by Jesus Himself and throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. But again, it's a bit of a mysterious word, isn't it? We have trouble locating it. We certainly can't point to it. And I'm aware that historically in the church or sections of the church, there's been quite strong teachings about what the soul is and its dichotomy from the spirit and the mind and all this. So bear with me. The way I am using soul, the word soul this morning, is this capacity to bear His image that He puts in each human being. And I want us to think about the soul like a mirror. It's not a perfect analogy. I don't know if there's ever a perfect analogy, but just keep with me. Because I think thinking about our soul as a mirror could be helpful for our journey into Christlikeness. You see, a mirror receives light and then reflects out an image. So if we think about our the mirror as our soul, the soul receives the image of God and then is designed to reflect that image out into the world. However, that's not the full story of the human history, is it? If I stand in front of the mirror now, okay, if I stand in front of the mirror now, it's nice and clean, it's receiving light and then reflecting out this image of me. It's doing just what it's meant to do. It's being a mirror in the way that the mirror was originally intended to be. There's nothing hampering that image being reflected. There's nothing getting in the way. And if you like, we could think about the mirror as it is now, clean and clear and pristine, as the soul before the fall. So before sin entered the world, our souls were perfectly aligned to God. They were facing God straight on. They were receiving His image and reflecting out that to the world. No spots, no dust, no streaks. The soul just as it was meant to be, receiving and reflecting God's image. But then the fall came. Adam and Eve chose to grasp hold of and install themselves into the place that only God rightly holds. They chose life on their own rather than with God. And from that point on, all of humanity and all of creation has never been the same. It's not as it's supposed to be. We have this longing inside of us, don't we? It's often, how often can we just say in our hearts, it's not as it's supposed to be? Sin entered the world then, and through each person, all the way down history until now, sin has continued to hamper and dirty up, if you like, our souls. And it's done this in two ways, probably way more than two ways, but it's a sermon. First, the fall, and when sin entered, has disoriented our souls. So instead of being directly facing and oriented towards God, our souls become disoriented and face away from God. Second, as sin continued through the ages, indeed continued. Matt, I didn't mean to then be facing you as such. All right, you are good. Just keep with me. All right, bless you. Through our decisions and choices, our soul is impacted. So now it's off kilter, it's askew. And then as sin has continued on through the ages and in our own lives, its reflective ability has been corroded. And I want to help get you this image, how our soul is now disoriented away from God and onto other things through sin in our lives, and that its reflective ability has been corroded. I want to get that image better in your heads. So, I've got some props. I've got the selfish source. I've got some sinful toothpaste. Tea. There's nothing sinful about toothpaste. I just wear you, sir. I just want to say that to you, but it's just a prop. And then we've got some dirty mud. Okay? So, as our sin has continued, and as our choices, we're faced away from God now, but the reflective ability is starting to get corroded. I don't think there's any gub. This is a gub mirror. Don't tell them I'm doing it right. Selfish source. Is there any gubs here? I thought Theo was. All right. Selfish source. Getting in the way. It's reflective ability. find some toothpaste. Right. Ugh. So you can see the mirror, our souls are now askew. They're not facing directly onto God to receive His image, reflect His image, and relate to Him. And even more so now, as our sin has continued on through the years and into our own choices, it's corroded the reflective ability. Compared to how God intended it to be, we find ourselves now with our souls turned away and our ability to reflect the image of God has been hampered. We can see something in the mirror, can't we, Matt? But actually, we can see the windows up there. But if I stand here, I can see something, but it's not clear by any stretch. But it is reflecting something. And that is everyone before they come to know Jesus. There is something inherently valuable and wonderful about every single human being because they're made in the image of God and they have an ability to reflect His image and bear His image. The trouble is, we're now askew and our reflective abilities aren't what they're meant to be. The image-bearing capacity is broken and marred and looks like a dirty mirror. We're unable to reflect the true likeness. But also for each one of us who are Christians, you see, we are not perfected in the moment of conversion. Conversion is our starting point, not our end of the journey. At conversion, it's like we're taken off the road we were on and put on a new road, and we're given a new heart, and we're given new desires, and if you like, that ability to reflect and receive and relate to God has been restored, but we still have a lifetime ahead of us to learn again, to live into the capacity to relate to God and participate with Him in His life in Christ. And that brings us to our ability to become Christ-like. If the object of Christian discipleship is Christ-likeness, which we gain by participating in the divine life, then sin names everything that blocks that reception, blurs the reflection, and diminishes our participation. So the question before us is, how do we get from here to where God intended us to be? What do we need to do, and what do we need to allow the Spirit to do to clean up and realign the mirror? Well, I think two things need to happen. First, we need our souls to be reoriented to God. You see, a difficulty of the disoriented soul is that it perceives earthly things as good and beautiful and is drawn towards them. So when it's like this, when we're disoriented, our souls, that capacity inside of us to relate with God is then drawn to earthly things and sees those earthly things as good and beautiful. And don't get me wrong, God created this earth and it is good and it is beautiful. However, God alone is truly beautiful and truly good. And with the disorientation of our souls, they have now settled for created beauty and created good, and we're drawn towards them. And in essence, we settle for too little. Where we have the ultimate beauty, the ultimate good, we're settling for something too little. And if we are askew like the mirror, we need to somehow be brought back in alignment and correct orientation to God so that we're facing directly into Him. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. At conversion, we're given back that ability to properly discern what is good and what is truly beautiful. What I mean by that, at conversion, we suddenly are able to see who God is for who He is. So once the mirror, our soul has been reoriented to God, the second thing that needs to happen is a life of Spirit-filled practices that help remove the impact of sin. You see, being faced straight onto God is one thing, absolutely. But what we also need to do is have a life of Christian practices that begins to reorient our soul and our desire to Him. See, the life of practices empowered by the Spirit, they help to discipline our desires so that our desire and that which is truly desirable, only God in the ultimate sense, come together. Because our desires have been messed up and they go after things that are earthly. Whereas we go and participate in a life of Christian practices. And what I mean by that is reading your Bible and prayer and fellowship and fasting and giving and serving and being a little Christian. It helps reorient our desire towards God. It helps us move towards Christ-likeness, where we learn to live in our capacity to participate in God through Christ. But it takes a little while. We keep at it. We keep at it. But as I said before, even in my own life, I don't get this right all the time. It's not all just cleaning day, is it? If you're doing well, cleaning days like what, once a, I'm going to just out myself now, I don't know, once a week, I don't know. The rest of the week, it can take a while. But through a life of Spirit-empowered practices, the Spirit begins to clean our souls in the way that I'm using that word this morning, restoring our ability to receive God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness on an ongoing and increasing measure as we keep going with the practices. Our ability to reflect Him and live into that and relate to God and to others is growing and growing. And that's why a life of Christian practices, a life of reading your Bible, a life of prayer, a life of fasting, a life of thanksgiving and joy and serving and loving others and loving God is never a task or a list of tasks to get through in a sort of legalistic sense. But rather they're rhythms and practices to build into our lives. And the Holy Spirit, through those practices, helps to remove the barriers that hamper our ability to reflect Him into the world and shape our desires towards God. They are used by the Holy Spirit to make us more Christ-like. And on it goes. As we keep that life going, even when it's hard, even when there's tragedy, even when we feel we are in the valley, even when we feel in the valley of the dry bones. That's why we keep going and keep pursuing. Because as the mirror gets cleaner and cleaner, we start to see more clearly who God is and who we were created to be in Him. We start to reflect the image of God more and more. We start to have our desires disciplined so they don't run after these other things, but they have cottoned on to, now I can see Now I can see the one who's truly desirable, and my desires will be disciplined towards that which is truly desirable. And we stop settling for what C.S. Lewis called mud pies by the seaside. And this morning, let the Holy Spirit fully reorient your soul towards Him. Ask Him as we come back to worship, Lord, let me be facing straight on to You. I want to be facing and oriented straight on to You. Perfectly placed to be able to receive from Him. And then embrace and be intentional about a lifestyle of Spirit-empowered practices that clean the mirror so that you will reflect the image of Christ more and more clearly to yourself and also to the world around you. And this is my greatest desire for you and for me, to have our souls repositioned and cleaned up so that what is truly good, what is truly beautiful, is received and reflected back into the world. So Matt, if you can come up, band. And the thing is, it's a lifelong journey. The mirror will probably be perfectly clean in glory. But my goodness, we can do a lot now. And asking the Spirit to come in, He can do a lot now. And so if you can stand. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Matt's going to play in the background. It's going to take just a couple of minutes to get the words up. No jokes in the pocket. So I want to invite and encourage everyone to ask the Spirit of God to come into their lives. And if this image, I pray it's been helpful. I don't want anyone getting caught over the words that I used. It was a placeholder to talk about what I was getting at, this capacity in every single human being to reflect and receive the image of God. If I chose the word poorly, I apologize. I hope you can hear my heart. Because I want more than anything for all of us is this mirror, this aspect of us that receives from God, receives His mercy and His grace and His love and forgiveness and His image bearing in Christ to be perfectly aligned towards Him. And I want to see the Holy Spirit through our lives, through our lifestyle of Christian practice and delight, removing anything that's hampering that capacity, removing anything that's getting in the way for us to reflect the image of Christ into the world. And this is not just about other people. Of course, it is about other people in our reflection. But as we understand and receive the image better and reflect it better, we fall more and more and more in love with Him. Our desire grows for Him. And that's an infinite adventure. It never stops. You never get to the end of it. So Lord, I pray right now, as we come to worship, Spirit of God, work in us today. No one in this room has a clean mirror. Lord, in Your grace and mercy, I delight in the fact that You are making us more like Christ. Help us, I pray. Help us to avail ourselves and position ourselves to receive of Your Spirit through the things that we do so that we can reflect You better. I pray for all of us, Lord God. Let our heart's desire be becoming like Christ. Help us to truly see the one who is ultimately desirable. As we worship, Holy Spirit, minister to us. Help us to see better. And I pray this in Jesus' name.